morning, everyone. It is the most gorgeous day. My goodness. Spring has sprung, maybe. And what a beautiful day to talk about gardening with our master gardener, Kathy Carpenter. Here we are, Kathy, on the 16th of February. We could have 2 feet of snow on the ground, but it's going to be, what, 60 degrees today. I, of course, am inappropriately dressed in a heavy sweater because I'm dressing for the day, the date, not the the weather. But welcome, welcome, Master Gardener Kathy Carpenter to the Mary Griffith Show.
Greetings, greetings.
The third Thursday, we always talk about all things to do with gardening, and a lot of times in January and February, you're that ray of sunshine in a dismal day, but it's time to start talking about gardening, and one of the best things people can do to get revved up is to register today for the Gardener's Palette. It's the 22nd annual, and it's going to be Saturday, March 11th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at John Wood Community College. So tell us all about it, please.
Well, you can register either online or by mail. There are beautiful pamphlets available at the Extension office in full color, which give the speakers a little bit about them and tell you about each one of the different sessions that are being offered. Pre-registration is $40 a person and includes all the printed handouts and lunch. And lunch has always gotten high praise, at least in the past several years.
Good.
And I would say we look forward to that lunch all the time. Now, lots of interesting stuff going on, and you should always, when you apply, indicate which your first, second, and third choice for each of the time slots, because some of them fill up real fast, and sometimes when that happens, we can switch to a larger classroom so we can accommodate more people.
Right, so that more people can see what they want to see. But there are three sessions. There are three choices each hour. You're never going to be able to go to everything, but you can pick four or five different things to fill out your day, and it's really fantastic. And at some of these things, we're going to give a little bit of education on right now because I have no idea what in the heck super sempervivums are.
They are a succulent plant, frequently grown as house plants, but they can also be used in the garden area. Sempervivums are similar, I mean, like to hen and chicks and those kind of plants. And I think since Martha Smith is doing it, and she is always a hit when she gives her talk.
She's a good speaker.
Absolutely, and really knows her stuff. And she loves these succulent little plants. That they're not big, they're not giant, but they pack a lot of interesting punch in terms of their coloration and their shapes. They're good things.
Well, a lot of people are familiar with hens and chicks, which is a strange name, but it's a name of a plant, mm-hmm. a succulent plant that stores water a lot.
In its leaves. They have thick leaves.
Mm-hmm. But there's a different. The hen is the gigantic one, and then the chicks are
the little offsets.
The little
offshoots. That's how the sempervivums frequently multiply, is by offshooting baby plants rather than seeding. Although they grow with
seeds. And I was just watching some show recently where they were gathering the hens, and I guess they were going to sell them or something. Is there a use for them? I mean, there must be, because these people, just like mushroom hunters, they were collecting hens from the hens and chicks. Huh. Now, I'm serious. I wish I knew more, because I can't remember why they were doing that, but they were out on this hunt for hens, and they were in the woods. I mean, they were in a wild area.
Well, they're not normally a wild plant.
They're mostly
so they may have escaped, you know, into this wild area, and maybe they were actually trying to get rid of them, and maybe turn them back into houseplants so that, you know, people would not have
these invasive
critters out there.
Speaking of invasive things, there's a session called Aggressive Thugs and reseeders, and I think this is probably one of those things where either you want these things or you don't want these things, so they're going to teach you how to keep them under control so that
correct.
If you have some pretty
flowers.
To avoid them.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, if you're given a pass-along plant, it is generally a thug. Because the person giving it to you is trying to get rid of it.
Not Mr. Hosta. We're not talking about
no,
you,
no,
Pat.
No.
But yeah, these things can get out of control very quickly. I have, I don't know what it's, I meant to bring in a piece of it today so you could tell me what this noxious weed. It's actually quite pretty, but I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tore it all out last year several times, and guess what? Here it's up in full force.
Yes.
Nothing else is blooming, but this darn thing has already started on the sunny side of my house. There it is.
My goodness. And well, I'd be interested. Bring in a piece, and I'll try to identify it for you.
Very shallow roots, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but the problem is probably it's coming
fresh.
Back from those bitty roots that you ripped it. You thought you got it all, and by golly, there were some roots out there.
No, it's spread. So this is a good class to take during Gardener's Palette on March 11th. If you have some things you really want to get rid of, they'll tell you how to get rid of them. Or if you have some things like, okay, I like that, but I just want it to be there. How do I keep it just there instead of spreading all over? So that's
right. Some of them are thugs. And if they get out into the wild part of your, you know, the environment, can take over as an understory plant and just kind of ruin life for your native plants that are out there.
And we see that driving down our big streets here in Quincy. Every once in a while, you'll see a vine growing up a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that, for example. You know, so that's one thing.
Generally speaking, except I do have a vine growing up a sycamore tree, which is a Virginia creeper. And
is that okay with you?
It's okay with me.
Okay, well,
as long as it's not getting
I don't want to cast aspersions on your moral values. If you're happy with a Virginia creeper just creeping all over your sycamore tree, that's fine.
Exactly.
But if people don't want that, they can come and learn how to get rid of it.
Exactly so.
Very
exactly
good.
So.
Mm-hmm. Another great session that's going to be talked about is sustainable vegetable gardening. Now, what does sustainable mean?
Well, that could mean a lot of different things. But sustainable usually means that it's something that you can continue keeping going most of the season. It could be plants that are perennial vegetables that come back, like rhubarb. Or it could be how you can get the most out of your little plot of vegetable plants and continue to harvest them the whole season.
And so composting and natural fertilization, natural pesticides,
yes,
that all kind of stuff will be discussed.
See, and planting things in succession. So that they're planted to come up and thrive at the best possible time, but in the interim, you've got something else coming along that's going to take over when you've harvested that particular.
So after the spring onions are out, something else goes in. And
exactly.
You're constantly having some fresh vegetables in your garden, sustainable gardening.
Exactly.
Okay, xeriscaping. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. X-E-R-I, xeriscaping. Here's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Tired of dragging the hose around and hauling buckets of water to parched plants? Then learn how you can incorporate xeriscaping into your home garden.
Xeri is basically low water. So it's planting plants that require a minimum amount of watering and enjoy dry conditions.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that is great. If you can't get the hose to places, then you want to plant that particular thing in that particular spot.
Yes, and a lot of our native prairie plants are that way because they put down their roots way, 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 way down into the ground to get at the groundwater, and so they can go practically all season with minimal rainfall and still live.
There will also be sessions on vegetable container gardening. There'll be a cooking demonstration. How to create a shade garden, all kinds of things. And these are, again, $40 gets you in for the whole day. You have excellent guest speakers that are well-versed. It is Saturday, March 11th at the Paul Heath Center. That's downstairs at John Wood Community College. Lunch is included in that $40. The show begins at 9 o'clock. That's when the sessions begin. If you get there a little bit early, they'll probably have coffee out for you. And it's all over at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and lunch is included. Now, to make sure you get the sessions you want, register today. Because here we are on February 16th, and they've got to plot all this out, folks. So
exactly.
You can't wait until Saturday, March 11th, and just show up and hope. That's
and after the 3rd of March, you can still register, but you probably won't be able to get lunch because we have to put in the final number to the caterer.
And it'll still cost you $40, but you just won't get the lunch. So
right.
Be sure you call today, and be sure you call before March 3rd. Well, Kathy's probably got a lot of other things on her mind. I know we're going to talk today about easy orchids. And frankly, something you can do today, which on a day like today, there's a lot you can do in your garden. My husband just got the lawn tractor back from the oil, and they waxed it and shined it up, and it just looks beautiful. So he'll probably be cutting the grass here pretty soon. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your phone calls, especially calls about orchids. We'd love to hear from you at 223-9300. 1-800-228-WTAD. And if anybody knows a commercial, why somebody would collect hens from the hens and chicks, why they would collect them if they're edible or if there's some commercial use for them, give us a call. 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. We'll be right back. We're back, and Kathy has corrected me. She's gently told me that those people out in the woods were not collecting hens and chicks. She said during the commercial break, is it possible they were collecting, what was it?
Chicken of the woods. It's a type of edible mushroom.
And that is indeed what they were collecting. Chicken of the woods. Because I was telling her during the commercial break, oh no, they were huge, Kathy. These things were gigantic. They were enormous. And she's like, maybe it was a mushroom. And that's indeed what it was, because they were talking about how they're going to sell these things and make a fortune, and okay. So hens and chicks have no commercial farmer's market value. But if you can find a chicken of the woods patch, those are mushrooms that are edible.
Yes.
See,
yes.
We learn something new every day when Kathy Carpenter stops by on the Mary Griffith Show. Well, we talked a little bit before we got started this morning about some topics, and you talk about easy orchids. A lot of people have the misconception that orchids are extremely hard to grow and maintain, but there are some new strains and some new techniques out to make orchids a little bit more accessible to even those without the greenest thumb.
Right. Well, the thing is that it depends on really very much on the type of orchid, because there are orchids that are a bear, and there are orchids that I would never, ever try to grow on my own without a greenhouse and fans and a whole bunch of other things. But those orchids you see, you know, in the supermarkets as you're going by, they're called moth orchids, or they're called, their scientific name is Phalaenopsis. But they are quite easy and very like conditions that are in our homes. So they work, generally speaking, very well. They like sun. They do, but they don't like too much. So it's generally speaking, if you have an east-facing window, you have a south-facing window that maybe has a fair amount of shade in the summer, you know, like if there's a tree out there, are generally the best places for those particular orchids. And many times they will bloom even more than once in a year.
Really?
And the flowers last for weeks, actually.
Okay.
I have one very mature orchid, Phalaenopsis, pure white flowers, produces at least three flower, what they call flower spikes, that have multiple flowers on them. I would say at least three times a year, and they last for over a month, and they are gorgeous.
And how long have you had that orchid? In other words, how long is the life of the orchid?
Well, the orchid can, all plants have a lifespan, but the one I have right now, I have had for 15 years or more.
15 years, mm-hmm. And it's still producing that kind of beauty.
Yes.
But again, it's a matter of sun conditions, temperature, the water, moisture
right kind
context.
Of soil, because right. Orchids, most of the orchids that people grow are not what you would call terrestrial orchids, or orchids that grow in soil in the ground. I have a few of those, but mostly the Phalaenopsis particularly is in its wild state, is usually found growing on a tree, you know, where not it doesn't parasitize the tree, but it absorbs all its nutrients and all water from these thick-looking roots, which and the air. You know, the air.
So it's kind of an aqua. It could be
by.
An aquaculture kind of thing.
Well,
but that's too wet.
Too
then.
Wet. Way too wet. In fact, Phalaenopsis, generally speaking, you kill more orchids with too much water than anything else.
Okay.
They're very
overwatering is worse.
Is a very bad
underwater.
Thing. You don't want them to sit in water either. So I usually, but they like humidity in the air. So I have what they call a humidity tray. It's a tray. You can do it as simple as get one of those, you know, aluminum cookie tray.
Aluminum roasting pan for 25 cents.
And
yeah.
put pebbles in them. Fairly, you know, decent-sized pebbles. And then you set the orchids on the pebbles. And when you water them, the water goes through the orchid medium, which is very porous and doesn't absorb a lot of water necessarily, and then sits in the pebbles, among the pebbles, but you don't put so much in that the water touches the orchid pot at all. And that way the water from those pebbles evaporates and provides a little humid environment.
Because their leaves suck that up as it's evaporating.
Well, they like that. They like it very much. And, of course, so do those roots. That's the roots. But I would say I water my orchids usually once a week. And generally speaking, I give them a thorough soaking once a week. In other words, if you have a smaller one, the big giant one, I can't do this with. But you take the pot and you put it in a container, bigger container, pour water in it until it's able to, you know, it even covers most of the pot, and then sit for 15 minutes, lift it out, let it drain, back on your little pebble tray, and that's good for a week,
perfection.
Usually speaking.
So orchids are possible. I mean, they're we shouldn't be discouraged, because I think, mm-hmm. again, a lot of people think an orchid being so delicate, it's impossible. But
oh,
as all good things
happen,
they can be
pretty tough cookies. They can
be. These producers, this is just a part of agriculture. Mm-hmm. They have created things that are much mm-hmm. more easy to take care of. So.
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, mostly you have to go with the plant. You know, the Phalaenopsis has characteristics that lend itself very well to home house growing conditions, and so the most of the producers are looking for unusual coloration and that sort of thing in the flowers. So when you go into the supermarket or the garden, the floor, it's more a florist plant than it is a garden shop plant.
Right.
You will notice some of the flowers will be white with purple markings on them, or they may be have certain parts of the flower one color and other parts another color. So you can just, if you fall in love, I've never seen this with someone like this before, I want it.
Go ahead and
go and get it, and feel free to experiment a little bit. They're pretty tough. I would some people, so they don't forget to occasionally fertilize them, get this a fertilizer you dissolve in the liquid, and they do maybe quarter strength of the fertilizer every time they water it.
Okay.
And that works.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Carpenter, my guest today. My guest every third Thursday is a member of the University of Illinois Master Gardener. These people have gone to training and have received a great education. And so if you want to know how to be a good gardener, even an amateur status, you can go to Gardener's Palette. Sign up today. It's March 11th. Which is a Saturday, and it's at John Wood Community College from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. And you'll find a breakout session, as they call it, for whatever kind of gardening you want to do. We'll take a break, head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening in our farm markets, then we'll be back. Your questions welcome, 223-9300, for Master Gardener Kathy Carpenter. We've got a caller who has waited to get in, and so we'll go right to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on the air with Kathy Carpenter, the Master Gardener. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I have an orchid question.
Yes.
And my question is, I was given one over a year and a half ago. It was gorgeous at the time. It is in my east window in my room where my laundry is, and it has these. It's a very healthy-looking plant, and it has these long things coming out of it. And I keep thinking, well, there should be an orchid come out of the end of them one of these days. And so far I got lots of long things coming out, okay. But nothing
you
coming
may
off
be
of them.
Maybe the roots you're looking at, are they white?
No, they're more like
dark
brownish.
Green?
Brownish.
Brownish.
Mm. Tan, something like that. But they're probably, easily 10 inches long.
Mm-hmm. Do they go kind of more up, or are they more down along the sides of the pot?
Nope, they're going straight up.
Straight up, okay. Hmm. Well, they could be flower spikes that just haven't put out any buds yet.
Is that a fertilization problem?
Do you feed your plant?
I feed them a fertilizer of some kind, yes. It's not an orchid fertilizer, and I do it very lightly.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a violet, actually.
A violet
something
fertilizer.
I had on hand,
mm-hmm.
A liquid.
Well, I
put it in the water, and when I water the plant, and I only water it, the directions earlier said like a fourth of a cup a week or something like that.
Well, that would probably work. You know, I just like to do it thoroughly and then just then let it sit for a while. But I would say if it's working for you and your plant looks healthy, go right ahead and continue.
Do you have any flowers at all, or is it just...
Nope, it's just these long things sticking up that are easily 10 inches long in most cases, mm-hmm. About four of them going different directions. I turn the plant, from week to week.
Uh-huh.
So
it's hard
but
to
the
t-
leaves are very healthy looking, and mm-hmm. But these funny little sticky-like things come up, and they're kind of greenish at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they do sound like your plant's trying to produce flower spikes, but normally speaking, you know, there'd be some buds on the spikes, but sometimes when mine put forth spikes, you don't get buds immediately. You know, they just mm-hmm. kind of go up and stay there for a while, and then eventually, you know, they will produce buds. So I would just keep an eye on it and see, continue to your other, everything else you're doing in terms of watering and feeding. But, I really don't think that, you know, if they're not roots, then they've got to be spikes of flowers.
Eventually, huh?
Eventually.
Well,
eventually, yeah.
Let's brainstorm a little bit. I know nothing, by the way. I'll make that caveat. But one time you told me that if you feed, you can feed too much or too little. If you feed too much, you might encourage leaf growth over bud growth. But if you feed too little, then, of course, you don't. They
much
get
of
halfway
anything.
There. You know, it's like a kid. Well, okay, I had enough energy to get this tall, but I didn't have any more. So mm-hmm. Could she be underfeeding or overfeeding, and how would you know that?
It's difficult to tell, particularly since you're not using a fertilizer that's kind of formulated for orchids itself. I've been able to find orchid fertilizer. It's in a powder form that you then mix in water. At most of the big box stores, mm-hmm. The ones that will carry orchids when it's the right season for them.
Mm-hmm. Check out Menards or, you know, someplace like that.
I believe the company that makes that particular fertilizer that I've seen locally is, I think, called Schultz, Schultz.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they may make other kinds of fertilizer, too, but this one is specifically formulated for orchids.
Okay, well,
okay.
Try that, and then when you have the most beautiful orchid blossoms in the world, you call back and tell us all about it, okay?
I definitely would.
Okay, thank you
Good
very
luck.
Much. So she really doesn't have an orchid, she has a stick.
Yeah, well, with roots and
but
leaves.
It has aspirations for becoming an orchid, so we'll give it credit. That is right. One of the frustrating things. Well, Kathy, we've got about 10 minutes left, a little okay. less than that. There's a great temptation to get out and plant something on a day like today.
Oh, yes.
But there are things that can be planted, but we are going to probably have another frost. I mean, all
for
things
sure.
being mm-hmm. equal, it's not spring, folks. So
no.
you can't
no.
go out and start planting things that the frost will kill, because we certainly will have a sub-32 degree day between now and, you know, May.
Indeed.
So what could they plant today if they want to, or this weekend if they want to get out and work it around?
Well, okay. If you wanted to start your asparagus patch, you'd have to go get crowns for them or order crowns in the mail. But the asparagus crowns, since it's just roots, you put them in the ground, cover them up, and you get started on your asparagus. Cabbage can be seeded, most likely. You can also do any of the peas, lettuces, spinach. A lot of those will tolerate either a heavy or a light frost. So you kind of want to
okay.
to do that.
And if we keep getting this warm weather, you'll have lettuce in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So
they can be planted like 6 weeks before the last frost date.
Okay.
And generally can tolerate some frost, the real hardy ones. Peas love it being planted in March, you know, the beginning of March.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, put them in.
Put them in. And of course, on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, you plant your potato crop.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. That's what we do. And we got about 40 pounds of potatoes last year.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was crazy. We had lots and lots of potatoes.
Happy plants. Happy plants.
So there are some things we can do, but this would be a good weekend, too. It's so dry right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to be tilling or working the soil, this is perfect, right?
It's absolutely perfect to do.
Because we don't have any rain in the forecast. I'm looking. There's a 20% chance of rain on Monday, but it's going to be 70 degrees on Monday.
Wow. Yeah.
So all this week, we're going to have 60-degree-plus temperatures. So if you want to get out and work the soil good.
And get it ready to go. Absolutely. And there's plenty of, like, there's also some flowers. Like, for example, this is the ideal time to plant poppy seeds. Because poppies, particularly the annual poppies, they like to be scattered over the surface of the soil. And then they will sprout. And they like it when it's cold. They'd like a little snow, too.
Really?
But,
how come, okay, I've got these hideous weeds. They're not that hideous. They kind of look pretty, but I don't want them. Mm-hmm. I've got these little creepy things. I think it's called Creeping Johnny. Is it?
Yeah.
That's what my husband calls it, anyway.
Creeping Charlie, yeah.
Creeping Charlie, Creeping Johnny,
I mean,
Creeping
whatever.
Yucky. Anyway, that's up. But now I've got a few green shoots coming up. But it doesn't seem like much else is greening up. But it shouldn't be. It's too early.
It shouldn't be. Exactly. In fact, my fear is that we're going to lose most of our magnolia flowers this year because all they need to do, those buds are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And once they pop, then they get a frost, brown, they're gone. No pretty magnolias.
Okay.
So I hope they have the sense to hold off on this blooming business.
But we've got a wonderful, the next 5 days are just going to be absolutely spectacular. And so a great chance to get out and do some work in the garden. And whether you're doing vegetables or whether you're doing flowers, just, you know, follow the recommendation. These vegetables can be put in early now, peas and cabbage and lettuce and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead and throw it in there this weekend.
Yeah.
And it'll be up and making a crop for you by the time it's time to plant everything else. So.
Yeah, and if worse came to worse and they didn't make it, seeds relatively cheap. You know, you get a really, really bad, hard freeze. Just say, I'll replant.
You're out a couple of bucks.
Exactly.
And it's such a great thing to do with kids. So, again... make sure that you involve children, even neighborhood. If you don't have kids of your own, get the neighborhood kids over. My husband and I used to visit an elderly gentleman. He's passed now, but one of the things he loved, he couldn't get around much, couldn't do much, but the neighborhood kids would come over and they'd plant a garden every year. And he was smart because he really couldn't do it anymore by himself. But all these kids, he trained them all how to do all this stuff, and they came over after school at least twice a week. And
it was fun for them.
And he couldn't eat all the food, so he gave it away to the kids. So it was really kind of great.
Yeah.
I meant to ask, did your Master Gardener session in January get going, or did you have enough? Okay, good.
It did.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have a new supply of Master Gardeners coming down the pipe.
Oh.
Kathy, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, I I think we've covered a lot. Okay. I want to urge people, though, to give orchids a try. Those Phalaenopsis are relatively easy, and you just have to experiment a little bit with them, and they're tolerant of beginners.
And the one thing we didn't say to the lady before, she's had it in one place, and maybe that's not the best place for it in her laundry room. Who knows? You know, with the dryer going, maybe it gets too hot, or maybe it's, you know, who knows?
You never know.
Temperature modulation.
Exactly.
So if something's really nasty, you know, before you give up on it completely, change its environment.
A little bit,
it's like
a
teenager. You got to ship it off to military school every once in a while and whip it into shape.
Indeed.
Will you be here next month, or are you on some excursion
somewhere? Well, I'm probably going to be on an excursion, but I'll get a sub
Robin
for
may
you.
Come,
I hope so. Yeah,
Robin, if you're listening, Robin Walker, we want you. So you're given your 1 month notice to appear on the third Thursday of March. Well, it's always great having you, Kathy.
Oh,
and
I enjoy
again,
it
thank you for all you do. Such a great service you provide, free of charge. She doesn't get paid for being on the Mary Griffith Show, that's for sure. So. Once again, sign up for Mass.
Even if you were offering, I couldn't take it. So that's.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah,
then I have a $1 million contract. I'll look like a hero. Gardener's Palette, March 11th. Sign up today by calling the University of Extension office or go online and get your registration and enjoy yourself on March 11th. We'll see you soon.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun.